Good evening, folks. This is Lou Crosby asking you to stand by now as we switch controls to Pine Ridge, Arkansas, where America's newest disc jockeys and best-loved characters, Lum and Abner, are waiting to broadcast a jukebox jamboree over the new 20-watt station KLUM. All right, take it away, Pine Ridge.
With my darling to the Tennessee Wolves. Went out of an orange-colored sky.
Abner.
I'm a sparrow on a hilltop.
Abner, stop that bellowing. You sound like a pig caught in a fence. Get your feet off of that Vicarola so I can lift the lid and get a record started. We're on the air.
We are? Blow me, I better get to spinning here.
Well, don't break the lid clean off.
You want the theme, I reckon.
Well, natural.
I got figured that. That's the one record I never can find. Oh, no. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is.
Well, hurry up. Oh, timber.
Yeah, here we go.
Howdy do, friends and neighbors. This is your old favorite discus jockey broadcasting on a frequency of once a week. On a whole batch of killer cycles.
No, but he can use them big words.
Direct from station KLUM, with studio located in the Jot'em Down store in the heart of Pine Ridge, overlooking Ira Hodgkin's liver stable.
Good thing to overlook, too.
Welcome again to the Jukebox Jamboree, folks. We got a nice batch of your favorite records stacked up by the Vicarola there.
I'll amen that.
And we got some chances for you to win yourself some mighty fancy prizes. Got another winner in the My Favorite Hometown Character Contest.
Hot dog.
And also some high-class culture features I've worked up. So sit back, relax, and join the fun, because here we go with, what's the first one there? The first record.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Don't that picture number 12 to stomping?
Sure,
it does. You
want to
dance?
No, I don't. I just want you to tell me the name of the song so I can announce it.
Oh, why, I'll have to read the label here.
Abner, cut that out. You'll make yourself dizzy.
Fan, 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 Antonio, 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 Rose, Rose,
Rose. You can't read it while it's going around that way. Turn it off.
What'd you say?
Never mind. Just let it run now. Thanks. We ain't found out what was on the first side yet.
Oh, yeah, it was, let's see here. It was Bob Wells doing New San Antonio Rose.
Assisted by Abner Peabody.
Thank you.
Yeah, I ought to know the name of that.
Of course you are. You ain't ignorant, Long.
Who said I was? Who said I was ignorant?
Oh, I don't know who it could have been. It weren't me, I know. Because I always stand up for you no matter what folks say about you. You reckon it was Tom Foster?
It weren't nobody.
Well, what gave you the idea you was so ignorant then?
Look, Abner, you said you ain't ignorant, Lum, and I said who said I was. And
I know what we said. I was standing right here. And I said I didn't know who it was that said it, and I don't know because I wasn't there when whoever it was done it that said it. Did they say it right to your face?
Oh, for pity's sake.
You just tell me who it was, and I'll fist fight him. I'll bear rattle him. I don't care who was it, Lum.
Look, Abner.
Was it Grandpappy Spears?
Of course not.
Dad, blame it, I was hoping it was him. He's the one feller I can whip. Was it Ezra Seastock? I'll fight him.
Forget it, Abner, and get some music going. Our listeners will think our transmuters blow the fuse.
I'll drop kick you in the sand.
Stand by for just a second, folks. The program's been delayed by circumstances over which Abner keeps getting me off the track, but I promise it won't happen again. We're going to continue with an awful pretty song now. Tex Ritter and the Denon Sisters, all his favorites, is going to sing Down in the Valley.
Well, come on. We better go down there here and sing.
Come back here, Abner. What I mean... No, I ain't going to try to explain it to you. Be safer just to pick another record. I'm going to change that, folks. What else have we got here? Now, here's a good one. Howling at the Moon with Hank Williams.
Who is?
What do you mean, who is?
Who's howling at the moon with Hank Williams?
Oh, me.
More than likely somebody's dog.
Yeah, more than likely. Now, listen.
You know, we ought to warn Hank about that, Lum. I know if I got to sitting out in the yard of a night over at my place howling at the moon, my woman Elizabeth would have me locked up. And if she didn't, the neighbors would.
Will you keep quiet for just a minute?
Of course, now, him and that dog might not be howling at the moon. I know I seen that old red bone hound of Luke Spears sitting out in the yard right in the middle of the afternoon with his nose pointed up howling. It looked like he was howling at the moon, but he wasn't.
That's very interesting.
What happened to him was he was sitting on a cucumber and just too lazy to get up. That might be what's wrong with Hank, too.
Abner, that howling business is just the name of the song.
It is. I'd love to hear it. What did you say the name of it was?
I ain't going to tell you. Just start another argument, so. Put on that other one I mentioned, the one with the Denon Sisters, and if you say one single word about it, I'm going to walk you right on top of the head. Do you understand?
I'd answer that, but I don't want to get whopped.
Just start the Vicarola.
Yes, sir.
Down in the valley, valley so low, hang your head on.
That's the saddest thing I ever heard in my life.
Till the wind blows.
For goodness sakes, Abner, if you're going to sit there and blubber, get over in the corner where they can hear you.
Poor folks down the valley, the wind's blowing, got a team won't pull them out.
Hang your head on.
Bless his heart. Bless his
heart. Till the wind blows.
If you're going to get all tore up about it and sit there and blubber, stick your fingers in your ear so you can hear it.
Change his voice.
I wonder you got your fingers in your ear.
Thank you.
Tex might have been on a cockaburry self, you know it.
Yeah, that was Tex Ritter and the Denon sisters. Pretty, wasn't it?
Oh, beautiful.
I wouldn't be surprised if they ain't got trained voices. Special that one there that sings Al Torrey.
Yeah.
And now, folks, right after our next number.
Well, howdy, Grandpap.
Yeah, howdy, howdy, howdy.
How's everything going at your place?
Abner, you can't talk to your friends while we're on the air this way. Didn't you put that sign on the door saying we was broadcasting?
Yeah, it's up.
Yeah, how come you fellas are giving up the radio business?
We ain't giving it up.
Yes, sir, I was sure sorry to see that sign you got out there. Quit broadcasting. Oh, well, you read that wrong, Grandpap. That says quiet, broadcasting.
Yeah, you got it wrong, Grandpap. That word's quiet. K-W-I-T. You better learn how to spell, Buster.
And what'd you say, Abner?
I said you better learn how to...
Stop mumbling and speak up, Abner.
I ain't mumbling. I just...
What's the matter? You got the laryngitis? Can't hear a word you're saying.
I'm hollering as loud as I can.
Wait a minute, Abner. Ain't no use shouting. Better blow through his ear trumpet. More than likely got something in it.
Oh, yeah. Let me see this for a minute, Grandpap. Recollect one time. No wonder. Looky here. There's a cork stuck in there. There. Now, is that better, Grandpap?
Well, I'm proud you stopped that whispering.
What was this cork doing in your ear trumpet?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I put that in there myself. My woman Charity was jawing at me about some pigeon-toed thing, so I just slipped that in there. I find I enjoy her conversations a heap more if I can't hear them.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I do, Grandpap.
Look, will you two fellas settle your domestical problems some other time? I'm trying to run a show here. Folks, as
you
I was saying...
You better keep quiet now, Grandpap.
Well, that goes for you, too, Abner. Say, Lum, do you know why I come over here tonight? No, I don't. Do you, Abner?
No, I don't know. Why did you?
Well, that's just it. I don't know neither. I was hoping one of you fellas would know.
Well, just sit down over there.
I know I had some reason.
Yeah, well, just sit down and read the almanac. Maybe it'll come to you. All right, Lum. You can go ahead now. I've got everything under control for you.
Oh, well, you're so good to me, Abner.
Well, just proud to do it.
Thank you. Folks, for our
next... Always happy to help you out, Lum.
Well, hush up then.
Oh, yes, sir.
Folks, what I was going to say, Granny, I forgot what I was going to say now. Well, while I'm thinking it up, here's a record I want you all to listen to. It's called Tennessee Central by Roy Acuff.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That big black engine comes a-puffin' round the bend, puffin' round the bend, puffin' round the bend. Oh, that big black engine comes a-puffin' round the bend, that Tennessee Central number 9. With her smokestack blazing, she's a-burning up the wind. Burning up the wind, burning up the wind.
Is that a cup or a cup?
Blazing, she's a burning up the wind.
Going
the Tennessee Central number 9. Oh, that old TC
makes a big thing out of it.
Let the flagman get the engine.
Get carried away.
Get a feeling I must go when I hear that whistle blow on the Tennessee Central number 9.
Like a train going. Makes a better one to travel, don't it? Granny's got a lovely picture of long trip on the train. One of these days, I'm going to Fort Smith.
Well, I don't know what we're doing, Mom.
Hear that bell ringing, donging and a dinging.
I'd love to go with you, but don't go too far.
You hear that bell
ringing, knowing I love a train.
Tennessee,
get me a big corner coat here, great, and pull my shoes off and look out the window.
Set up the smoking car.
Yeah. Get Elizabeth another one of that little glass pistols that Sandy and she broke her.
The Tennessee Central number 9.
I just love to sit there and count the telephone calls as we go by.
Oh, I
told
you,
we
can play that.
We roll into
you ever notice sitting on the train looking out the window that it seems like the telephone post and the trees and all is going by you and you're sitting still?
The Tennessee Central number 9. Oh, that old TC is good enough for me. Let the flagman give the engineer the sign. Get a feeling I must go when I hear that whistle.
I hope I'm on a train when I have a wreck sometime.
You want to be on a train when I have a wreck?
Yes, sir. I'd give anything for an excuse to bust that glass and pull that axe out of there one time.
Hard
doggone, that was a duty wriggler.
You know, Abner, I was just sitting here thinking this would be an awful good spot for an advertising commercial, you know, and selling some good product.
Yeah, now there's a job I can handle. I can shout down anybody in Pine Ridge. Hey, race right down, buy one now. This offer won't last long. Money back guaranteed. Finest product in the world.
Wait a minute.
Get one.
Wait
get two.
That ain't the kind of selling I'm talking about.
Huh?
You don't have to shout at anybody to sell them something. Most of these folks listening in have been friends of ours for 20 years. You wouldn't rush into their homes and start shouting at them to sell them something, would you?
No, that's right, ain't it?
In the first place, we ain't going to sell nothing but products we can honestly and sincerely recommend to our friends. We just sit here and discuss the product and tell them in our own words the advantages of the product and ask them to try it. They will. Now, folks, I got a red-hot news flash for you. Just come in over the party line. Mr. Roy Ludlow of North of Cherry Hill has just taken a room at Sister Simpson's boarding house. And now, folks...
Hey, wait a minute, Long. Is that the red-hot news flash?
Yeah.
All of it?
Why, sure.
Huh. Ain't you feared of burning your hands handling that hot news?
Well, now, wait a minute, Abner. You know well as I do that when a single feller moves into the boarding house, right away Sister Simpson sets her cap for him. When the poor fella realizes this, he tries to sneak away by climbing out the upstairs window. A neighbor sees him, thinks it's a robber, calls the town marshal, and half the town joins in the manhunt, which lasts for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
They final corner him and old abandoned mine, slap him in jail. Sister Simpson sues him for breaching the promise, and there's a big trial that runs for several weeks, and the fella general winds up by suiciding himself. And you say I don't get no news.
Mom, I'll never say another word about that as long as I live. Not one single little bitty word. Never.
Oh, hey, just recollected it, Abner.
Just recollected what, Grandpap?
What I come in here for. I want to use your telephone.
Well, I'm glad we got that settled.
The only trouble is I can't recollect who I was going to call.
Oh, well, let's see now. Who would you call?
Now, wait a minute. He can't use the phone while we're broadcasting now. No way.
Oh, yeah. Better step back down, Grandpap. Maybe you'll think of it later on.
Something awfully important. I know that.
Oh, sure. Must have been.
And now, folks, while we're speaking of news, here's a little article from the Clintonville Courier by Mrs. D.W. Cannon of that city. And for this, we're sending Mrs. Cannon a nice set of kitchen knives. It's one of them articles where the printer made a typographical mistake, and it comes out sounding kind of funny. You know, every week we give a prize for the best one of these that's sent in. So if you run across one in your hometown paper, why, just send it to Lum and Abner in care of your local station. Be sure to put your own name and address in it. All right, here's this week's winner.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Miss Muriel Paulson, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. R.J. Paulson of Clintonville, and Lyle Wardlow took the marital vows during an impressive double ring ceremony last night.
Well...
Lyle is connected with the U.S. Forestry Service, and immediately after the ceremony, the young couple departed for Yellowstone National Park, where the groom will be encaged for the summer.
Encaged. Come right out and admitted it, huh?
Yeah, that's a gooder, ain't it?
Of course, I don't see no typographical mistake in there, though.
What's that word, encaged? What they meant,
well, that's it? What they meant, ain't it? That's what happened when you get married, Lom. I know when me and Elizabeth got hitched, the first thing she done was...
And the word in there was supposed to be engaged.
How could he be engaged? He just got married.
That means he's got a job.
It sure does. Married to one woman and engaged to another. I don't blame little Merrill for caging him up right away. Facts is,
oh,
we ought
to
take the money.
Oh, I'm tired of explaining things to you today. Just slap another record on the Vicarola. Try that and call Moonlight Bay. I believe that's sang by Gary Crosby and his papa.
Oh, yeah, got it right here. Yes, sir. Here we go.
We're sailing along on Moonlight Bay. We could hear the voices ringing, they seem to say, you have stolen my heart, now don't go away. As we sang love's old sweet songs on Moonlight Bay, I'm joined now by my
associate in song, Mr. Getty Crosby, who's been flown in at great expense from Cecil Myers' milk bar. Get it?
We were sailing along.
I bet you were cute in your new sailor suit.
People cheered on Moonlight Bay.
It's as sharp as the tack with the belt in the back.
Ow! You could hear the voices ringing.
A crooning at you.
They seemed to say,
oh, Teddy boy, you're a positive joy.
You have stolen my heart.
You acted so bad, just a regular cab.
Now don't go away.
And this is the lad who wound up as my dad.
As we sang,
put over a ragtime with a bang.
On Moonlight Bay.
On Moonlight Bay.
Shall we rest on our oars now and listen to the string on song? Well, 20 years have passed. I put on a little around the middle, lost considerable off the top. But Moonlight Bay goes on.
We were sailing along.
Sailing in a souped-up hot rod outboard, yeah.
On Moonlight Bay.
Oh, the bay. I was very big on the bay.
We could hear the voices ringing.
Oh, no. Listen, don't knock that. You kept you freeloading for years.
You have stolen my heart.
You've stolen many of my neckties, too, my charmer.
Don't go away.
Oh, don't go away. As we sang,
our Moonlight Bay.
Oh, we were
sailing along in beautiful moonlight. We sailed along the beautiful Moonlight Bay.
You know, that boy's papa don't sing bad for a old feller.
No, sir, he gets right in there, sings right along.
Yeah, let's see now, what's my next feature here? Oh, yes, my man on the street broadcast. Friends.
Yes, sit down, Grandpa.
I just recollect who I was supposed to call.
Well, here, wait a minute, Grandpa. You can't call now, I'm broadcasting.
Now, this is important. I just got to make this call. Hello, Mamie. This is Milford Spears. I want to call long distance.
Long distance? Oh, now, wait a minute here.
Yeah, put me through to Hatfield. I want to talk to my brother-in-law, Luther Ingalls.
Now, listen, Grandpap.
Luther Ingalls, tall fella with a big tooth on his watch chain. Rush it through, Mamie.
Grandpap, you can't do that.
Of course not. You can't make no long-distance calls right while I'm on the radio. Besides, them things cost money.
Why, sure they do.
Yeah, wait a minute. Luther?
Oh, me.
Oh, hello, Arlo. It's Orlo Wormley, Abner.
I don't care who it is.
Yeah, you remember Orlo, Abner.
Huh?
Drove his family over here last summer in that new Model Essex. Runs the 8th High Snooker Palace over there at Hatfield.
I thought she was calling your brother-in-law Luther.
That's right. Orlo, is Luther there?
And get what he's up there for.
Oh, he's shooting pool and it's his shot.
For goodness sakes, I'm not.
Hurry up, Grandpa. Well, Luther's the one that's holding things up. It ain't me. Oh, hello, Luther. Did you make it? Side pocket, huh? Did you get my telegram saying I was going to call you tomorrow?
Bank shot's already, sir.
Well, I just called you to tell you I don't think I'll be able to call you tomorrow. No, I've got to go to the county seat. Oh, nothing. I was just going to call and tell you that my woman, Charity, is sort of figuring on coming down to visit you folks tomorrow.
She is?
Well, when did she get there? Well, tell her hello. Goodbye. Well, I do know. She's went down today.
You're a woman?
I bound you that's what she was trying to tell me this morning when I put that cork in my ear trumpet. She's standing there jawing at me and waving her hands. I thought she was fixing to swing on me. All she was doing was just waving goodbye. Well, saved myself a call anyway. Well... much obliged. I've got to be running along. Good night.
Good night.
Granny, what a nuisance he can be. We just got to keep that door locked.
Yeah, Lomb, you going out for your man on the street broadcast now?
No, there ain't time now, thanks to Grandpa. time now for the station identification, so get the theme on the Vicarola there.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Stand by, friend. We'll be back in just a half a minute with the second half of our jukebox jamboree. All right, spin it, Abner. Here we go with the second half of Lon Abner's Jukebox Jamboree being broadcast direct from our studio in the Jot'em Down store right in the main heart of Pine Ridge. We've got a lot more fine recording music lined up for you, plus a few of my own special features, and a couple of more contests. So stick around, folks. We're starting off the second half with a record that's had an awful lot of requests. By the way, this is your program, you know, and we want to play the music you want to hear, so we'd be much obliged to you if you'll let us know what tunes you want. Just drop us a card or a letter telling us which records you'd most like to have played this week. Also, tell us which records you would most like to have broken this week. You know, some song that you're tired of hearing. Just tell us and we'll bust it for you.
Yes, sir.
Just send the cards to Lum and Abner, care of the station you're listening to. And now here's the one that got so many requests. It's sort of different. It's by Tennessee Ernie, and it's called Shotgun Boogie. Start her going, Abner.
Yes, sir.
Black band in the corner with a barrel of string. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the crowd. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun Boogie, I done saw your track. Look out, Mr. Rabbit, when I cock my hammer back. Well, over on the ridge is a steely bark. Capering us a bit, you can see him in the dark. The big fat twirl, they scratch and they fight. I'll be on that ridge before daylight with the shotgun boogie. All I need is one shot. Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. She had, she said, a Fox 410. I looked her up and down, said, boy, this is love. So we headed for the brush to shoot a big fat dove. Shotgun boogie, boy, the feathers flew. Look out, Mr. Dove, when she draws a bead on you. I sat down on a log, took her on my lap. She said, wait a minute, bud, you got to see my pack. He got a 16-gauge choked down like a rifle. He don't like a man that's a-gonna trifle. Shotgun boogie, draws a bead so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time. Hunter's gonna get my daughter. He cocked back the hammer right on the spot. When the gun went off, I outrun the shot. Shotgun boogie, I wanted wedding bells. I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Yes, sir, that was a dandy.
Oh, I love it. He's got a beautiful voice.
Yes, he has. And now, folks, we're going to take the microphone outside from a man on the seat. But
you know, Lom, I hate to say it, but I believe that Tennessee Ernie comes from the country. It just seems that every once in a while I catch just a patch of a country twang in his voice.
Well, he might have lived there at one time. It's hard for some fellas to lose that twang. I know when I first moved to Pine Ridge, I had an awful country twang in my voice.
Well, I never noticed it.
Well, I've lost it now. But when we first moved into town from that farm up on Shack Creek, I sure had it.
You know, sometimes I get to wishing I could move out in the country. But I don't know. I'm just afeard I've lived here in downtown Pine Ridge too long for that now.
Yeah. All right now, folks, we're going to move.
Oh, I reckon I could make the adjustment all right, but I know Elizabeth, my woman, never could. She's just too used to all them city-fied comforts. She'd just die of lonesomeness.
Yeah. And now, friend...
The way it is now, you know, she'll be out there plowing her garden, and chances are when she gets down the end of the road there by the road, why... Once in a while, there'll be somebody coming along, and she can stop and talk to her. You know how women folks are, just love to gossip.
Yeah, I know, they sure do, but...
Yes, sir, she'll miss all that hustle and bustle if we ever move to the country.
Well, Anna, we better discuss this some other time.
Yeah, we're better. You're broadcasting now.
Yeah, and now, folks...
And another reason Elizabeth hates to move right now is she's got a pretty good crop this year. Got a nice stand of everything. Considering she's breaking in that young mule to plow with.
Is she breaking in another young mule?
Yeah.
Why don't she just get herself a nice, gentle, well-broke horse and stop all that foolishness? I don't trust them mules. They'll kick your head off.
Well, they don't bother her. She's got a system that she uses on them.
A system?
Yeah, well, like this last one now. When she brung him home, he was wild as a billy goat. So she run him right in a stall, then she walked right in there with him. Turned her back on him. Stood there for about 2 minutes, then she just hauled off and kicked the daylights out of him.
Elizabeth did?
Yes, sir. She beats him to that kicking finish. No, I don't believe I could ever tear Elizabeth away from a city life.
Well, good. I'm glad we got that settled.
Yeah.
Now maybe I can go on with the program here.
Yeah, you better tend to that, Love. You keep getting off the subject.
Excuse me again, folks, but me and Abner got to talking here and sort of forgot you was waiting, but... We're going to push things right along from here on out. And right now, while I go outside and get set up for the Man on the Street feature, Abner's going to liven things up with Mitchell singing Truly Fair. Let her go. Roger. Now, howdy, folks. This is your man in the road reporter, Flash Edwards, out here on the main street of Pine Ridge, right at its busiest intersection. We're going to try to collar a few passersby from the crowds thronging around here and tap the pulse of public opinion.
Hey, how are you getting along out here, Long?
Hey, Chef Abner.
Doggies, it sure is deserted out here tonight.
Abner, will you keep quiet? Ah, here comes a young businessman heading this way.
Where? All I see is Cedric Lee, huh?
Shh. He's elbowing his way through the crowds. I'll try to catch him for a short interview. Sir, will you step over to our microphone for a second?
Mom?
What is your name, sir?
Oh, you know my name, Mr. Love.
Sure, but tell him anyway, Cedric. You're on the air.
I am, huh?
Just tell him your name.
Let's see now. Cedric Weehunt.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Weehunt. You get $5 for knowing your name.
Don't.
Now then, you being a prominent young businessman...
You must have me mixed up, Mr. Lum. All I do is just hang around the lunchroom and play the pinball machines.
Cedric, don't interrupt.
You being a young businessman, I wonder if I could get your opinion on the current foreign relations policy.
Mom?
Do you have any views on the subject? None at all, huh? Well, it is a hard subject, sir. That was very interesting.
Oh, thank you.
What was interesting?
And now, Mr. Weehunt, I'm going to give you a chance to win $1 in cash if you can answer this simple question. It was sent in by Mrs. L. L. Stoddard of Joplin, Missouri. And for it, we're sending her a double electric waffle iron. Now, this is sort of a trick question, so be on your toes, Mr. Weehunt.
Oh, you know me, Mr. Love.
Yeah, he does. That's why he's warned you.
Here it is,
you
now.
You don't have to stand on your tiptoes, Henry.
Oh, it's getting hard up there.
Yeah, let down.
If you was in a room that was pitch dark, you couldn't see nothing, and there was a drawer full of black socks and white socks, and it was all mixed up, how many socks would you have to take out before we'd have a pair that matched?
Let's see. It's pitch dark in there, you say?
Yeah.
Well, I believe the first thing I'd do is turn on the light.
Light, doggies, good for you.
No, wait, that ain't it. You can't turn on the light in there.
Why not? Is a bulb burnt out?
I don't know. It's dark in there, and that's that.
Maybe the fuse is blowed out. More likely what he ought to do is get a new fuse. Say that, Cedric.
So maybe they're out of oil in their lamp.
Yeah.
No, that ain't got nothing to do with the question. It's just got to figure out how many socks he has to take out of the drawer before he has a pair that matches. Now, go ahead, Cedric.
What colors did you say there was in there?
Well, some of them are black and some of them are white.
Personal, I favor green.
Well, green air nice, yeah.
He can't have green, though. It's got to be black or white.
That don't give him much of a choice. What if he's wearing a green suit?
Abner, you keep out of this. Now, look, Cedric, just make a wild guess. How many socks would you have to take out of that drawer to get a pair?
Oh, that's easy. Two.
Hot dog, good for you.
No. If you just took two, they might not match.
Oh, that's all right. I ain't awful finicky about my socks, no way. Look here, I got on one blue checkered one and the other and sort of orange, see?
Look at that, Long.
Oh, me. Abner, you better run back in the store and slap another record on there as fast as you can.
Yeah, all right.
Now, look, Cedric, the answer is three. You'd have to take three socks out of the drawer.
Well, what for? I ain't got but 2 feet.
I know that, but, oh, me, what's the use?
And I'm all set in here, Lom. There's a good one right on top of the stack. It's one we got a lot of requests for, too. Mockingbird Hill with Mary Ford and Les Paul.
When the sun in the morning peeks over the hill and kisses the roses on my windowsill, and my heart fills with sadness when I hear the trill of the birds in the treetops. Thank you.
married. Old Lum still out there in front trying to explain that sock business to Cedric. I believe this would be a good chance for me to slip in one of my favorite records. The Andrew Sisters and Red Foley in Satins and Lace. Here we go.
Satins and lace for my darling. Satins and lace for her to wear. Satins and lace for my darling. For my sweetheart with the golden hair. I had a gal in my hometown as sweet as she could be. I told her that I loved her and she said she'd marry me. So I started saving up, and when folks asked me why, I told them I was saving till I had enough to buy. Satins and lace for my darling. Satins and lace for her to wear. Satins and lace for my darling. For my sweetheart with the golden hair.
Did you finally get Cedric straightened out on that sock business?
Well, now, there's a funny thing, Abner. I know the answer is three, but before I got done explaining it to Cedric, somehow or other, he had me convinced that the answer was four dozen orange socks. I still don't understand it.
Well, here, let me try to figure it out for you.
No, don't you get started on it. I've had all this I can stand.
Oh.
This has been a rough night on me. I'm just going to take it easy here for a few minutes and play, Sure, this is the number one song.
Well,
ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to play the song that's number one in Pine Ridge this week on our hit parade. Now, that is based on the total results of the jukebox down at Luke Spear's lunchroom and also on eight or nine votes that's been pouring in from all of Greater Pine Ridge. That includes both downtown Pine Ridge and the outlying environs. And the title is...
What in the world is an environ?
That's the suburbs. The country. We were talking about it just a while ago. The environs is what they live in when they live in the country.
They do.
Why, sure. And now, folks,
all the folks I know out there live in houses.
Abner, would you please hash up?
Oh, yes, sir.
The title, folks...
Of course, now there's old man Paul. Now, he lives in a cave. Is that anything like an environ?
Abner, please. I told you I've had enough for this evening.
I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Thank you. As I was saying,
what if
friend,
it's anything like a Quonset hut?
Oh, for goodness sake. Here, you make the announcement.
Well, I'd love to. Friends, the number one song in Pine Ridge this week is On Top of Old Smoky. See there, Lum, it's not so hard. You'll catch on to it after a while.
On top of Old Smoky, all covered with snow.
Parting is a pleasure.
Parting is grief.
full-hearted lover.
And a full-hearted lover
is worse than a thief.
Is worse than a thief.
A thief will just rob you.
A thief will just rob you.
Take what you have.
And take what you have.
Hearted lover, will lead you to the grave.
Will lead you to the grave,
and the grave will decay you.
And the grave will decay.
Turn you to dust.
For goodness sake, will you let your father see me?
One boy in a hundred.
A poor girl can trust.
They'll hug you and kiss you.
Tell you more lies.
Cross-eyed on a railroad.
Our stars in the sky.
And if you don't stop, I'm going to lock you out of this room the next time we have a broadcast.
Oh, he was doing that so you could sing along with him.
That's for the folks that's on the record.
Let's see if I can get up there on it. Can you stand on it and sing?
Get off of that box.
Go you, that's twisted. Over me right off of here.
I'm glad it did.
So come all you young maidens.
Come all you young maidens.
Listen to me.
Listen to me.
Never place your affection.
Never place your affection.
On a green willow tree.
On a green willow tree.
For the leaves they will wither.
Roots they will die.
You'll all be forsaken.
You'll all be forsaken.
Never know why.
And now, folks, here's the part of the program I like the best. This is where we read a letter telling about somebody's favorite old character in their hometown. This week's letter comes from Ed W. Horner of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. There's a card in the mail right now telling Ed he can go down to the local radio dealer there in Cedar Rapids and pick himself up a nice combination radio and phonograph console model. Now, here's Ed's winning letter. My favorite hometown character. In my hometown, Potterville, where I spent all of my boyhood, there's an old fellow known to everyone as Old Cap. About 25 years ago, the town created the office of Director of Animal Welfare, and Old Cap was given the job. But after 6 months or so, funds ran out, and they discontinued the office. However, Old Cap liked the work so well that he refused to quit. After repeated attempts to explain to him that the office was no more, they finally gave up and let him have a desk in the basement of the city hall. And ever since, Old Cap dutifully goes to work every day and has never received any pay. He's become a personal friend of every dog, cat, and horse in town. And his own small house and yard is constantly full of stray hounds, ailing cats, injured birds, and whatnot. He receives a small pension from a railroad company. He was injured while working for them some years ago, but I'm sure most of the pension goes into food and medicine for the animals. His pride and joy is a radio given him many years ago by the owner of a dog he nursed back to health. This radio is as good as the day he got it, because he's never played it. He's never been able to afford to have his house wired for electricity. But he keeps the radio in a prominent place in his house, keeps it well polished, and is very proud of it. I think that Old Cap has certainly enriched life in Potterville, both through his character and the good that he's done. Sincerely yours, Ed W. Horner. Well, sir, now there's a character for you. I wish I'd known Old Cap.
Yeah, so do I.
And folks, Cap don't know this, but sometime this week an electrician is going to wire Cap's house for him so he can hear that radio.
Maybe he won't like it so well then.
Well, there's other shows on besides us, you know.
There is.
And we're also sending him an electric coffee pot for his coffee in the morning and an electric blanket to keep him warm at night.
Oh, he'll get a kick out of that.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ed Horner, for your letter. And, folks, I'm sure there's a favorite character in your hometown that we all ought to know about. So write us a letter about him, or her. Just mail it to Lum and Abner, care of the station you're listening to.
Yeah.
And now it's getting down towards closing time, so me and Abner would like to have you join us in a few moments of reverence while we play the favorite hymn of Mrs. C.R. Hansen of Fayetteville. Let the lower lights be burning. Thank you, friends, for being with us tonight. Me and Abner Show hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, and come back again next week.
Yeah, be sure and do that. Good night for now, and God bless every one of you. See you next week.
Tune in again next week at this same time for another session of Jukebox Jamboree with your old friends Lum and Abner from their Jot'em Down store down in Pine Ridge. This is Lou Crosby bidding you good night for Lum and Abner.